Okay, I guess I thought that you could hear me on the computer, but obviously you couldn't, so I do apologize. But since you can hear me, I will just start all over. Okay, so good morning, everybody. Good morning. I was saying that the show that I did yesterday on the Hebrew roots is very important because of the way that the times are right now. With our government partnering with that, with Zionism and the assault that's coming to the church, to the real church. And we needed to know, like what their doctrines are and stuff, because there's key words that you need to know that are, Noahide in nature, and that is, principles. That's a word that they use a lot, and moral law or natural law is, they're trying to say, really though, it's a law made of man. They try to act like that it was, done by Abraham and Noah. It was not. This is a Kabbalah Talmud type of deal. It is not biblical at all. But it is important for me to show examples, like showing the example of Michelle Bachmann yesterday, with this guy that is supposed to be a pastor, and how I wanted you guys to see, how he opens up his people and all the people that watch him on television, up to this speaker. Who has worked with the 70 nations. She was over the 70 nations. She was over the United Nations, where they actually called her the pastor of the United Nations. And so what they have done, in this end time scenario, is they have pimped out these preachers like, Paula White. Now, see, I remember Paula White back in the day when she began. Because I had been Pentecostal since 1988. So I had been with this thing a long time, And she came about the time that T.D. Jakes was really big. And he used to do those Woman Thou Art Loose conferences, which was really amazing and powerful. And this is where Juanita Bynum was born. Spiritually popular type deal. And she was a black woman that got really famous through a speech called, through a sermon called No More Sheets. And she had spoken at one of his conferences, Woman Thou Art Loose, and she walked up on the stage with a sheet. And she was talking about all the men that she had slept with and how God taught her that he is the real husband. I mean, the most powerful woman type of sermon, have you on the edge of your seat type of powerful. I mean, that sermon was so good about the no more sheets. That's what catapulted that woman. So she became really famous because women can relate to that kind of stuff. I mean, we're, fallible women, so we could really just relate to how she delivered that powerful word. So Paula White is kind of like Juanita Bynum in that she's white, but she's black. She's charismatic like a black preacher, which she said that T.D. Jakes, is her spiritual guide. So she has that kind of root, but people love it. She was a down to earth, kind of like what people say about me, that I'm down to earth. People love the realness. That's how Paula White was. And that's why she became famous, not like a lot of stiff necks, like you would see on TV or whatever. And so Paula White, you know, they, to me, they all started out good, you know. She had a very powerful story of how, you know, she grew up being molested, and, you know, people can totally relate, you know. And, but anyway, so they do start out good, but now what they've done is, you know, they have partnered with this End Time Beast, and I mean, you know, like God said, we're not to tear these people down, we're to pray for them, because he does love them, and he, you know, wants these people to come back to him. He doesn't want the devil to have victory and to send these people to hell, you see what I mean? And so, but the sad thing is, it is what it is, you know, that these people have partnered with this End Time Noah Hyde agenda. And they, you know, are partnering with them and telling the church not to proselytize, you know, not to tell people their need of Jesus, because if they did that, they would have to believe in the covenant of Jesus only. You know, there is no other way to heaven. But these two women that we're talking about, these two preachers, Michelle Bachman and Paula White, they ascribe to the dual covenant theology, the same as John Hagee. And so they are warning people, which, you know, it's the Noahides having them do this. And when I say Noahides, I know what they mean, the Noahides or the Gentiles. But when I say Noahides, I'm talking about, you know, the agenda of what the Orthodox Jews are doing, you know, in this deal. And even Michelle Bachman, you know, when she was being interviewed, and the one that everybody watched yesterday, you know, they was talking about how she's one of the leaders of education reform. You know, and that is another Noahide agenda, is education. So when you see, like, all these changes that Trump is making to education, it all boils down to this. They want our kids. They want our kids. Though now they're going to give women the money to take care of their kids, so that they can go to work. They want the women working, make your money, you know, because then you'll go shopping and you'll help all these businesses, you know, and you'll help all them big time, them rich people make money, and then we're going to take your kids, okay? So we're going to take your kids, we're going to put them in a screen, we're going to put them in the metaverse, and we're going to, you know, educate them to AI as their God. And I'm going to tell you, you know, AI has advanced so much right now, you know, that by the end of this year, they're going to have humanoid robots so affordable, we're going to begin to see them in homes. I mean, these are days that, you know, we thought we'd never be living in, because you know, when we used to watch, not the Jeffersons, but what's that one called with all the flying, where they lived up in the cloud? Not the Flintstones, not the Jeffersons. Meet the Jetsons. That's it, the Jetsons. And they had that robot. Man, we just thought we would never see those days. I mean, it looks so, you know, remember they would get their food out of a, they would punch in what they wanted to eat and they would receive their food. Yeah, with Rosie, ah! Leslie, that is right. The Rosie the robot. Now you're bringing back the memories, yep. With the flying cars, now they're making flying cars. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up. And so I had a friend, since you brought that up, boy, it really got me going. I had a friend on Facebook say that her husband, he was watching it the other day, can't believe that's funny. And they was, you know, bragging that they had bought this Tesla car. And so I went to their Facebook because I couldn't believe that anybody associated with me would ever buy a Tesla car, you know what I mean? So I looked at their Facebook, and they, on the post before, they had put something on there from another channel, kind of like mine. What was the name of that? A Minute to Midnight. And so I'm sitting there. I commented on this video where they were so proud that they bought a Tesla. And I said, one post, you're buying a Tesla, and the next one, you're putting in a Minute to Midnight. I mean, how is this going to work? You know, because I was calling them out like, you know, how this is an oxymoron going on here. So that woman deleted it. And she wrote me in private. She said, I just want you to know I deleted what you said, but I hear you. She said, here's the deal. She said, my husband is a pro-Trumper, and he will not listen to me. And, you know, he bought this Tesla, and I do enjoy riding in it. But I just wanted you to know we're kind of unequally yoked being married type of deal is why this is happening. So I wrote her back, and I said, well, there's a few things you need to consider then. Because if he's going to buy a Tesla and put you in this much debt and stuff, there's how much he believes in these people. I mean, how do you know what he's going to do in the future? I said, did he take the V? I just come out and asked her, did he take the V? So she wrote back and said, no, he didn't take the V because he lost his job because he refused to. And he does see that. He just doesn't see Trump. I was like, wow, the father of it. And he's against that agenda so much that he would lose his job over it, but he just can't see through Trump, you know. And so anyways, I told her, I said, well, you do realize that inside that vehicle is sensors monitoring your brain, monitoring your mental health, monitoring your body, much less the cameras inside that vehicle, much less the radiation inside that vehicle. Because it is an electric car, you know, much less all the 5G that's attracted. You know, I was telling her how it was. And she wrote back and she goes, I do hear what you're saying. You know, just pray for me. So I did. I prayed for her, you know, that she will love Jesus more than she loves any person, place, or thing. And this is a very serious issue that a lot of people are facing right now. I mean, you know, if you're single out there, because we have people that listen to these recordings afterwards from all over the world. If you're single out there and you think, man, I wish I was married. You know, I just would love to have somebody to go through this with me. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have seen and I have prayed with many, many a couple that are not in one accord. Now, I would rather be single than living in a house with a brawling woman or a brawling man. I wouldn't want to be in a house with an unequally yoked person in this hour because, okay, the trust factor. How do I know he's doing that at work? I mean, how do I know he's not jabbed? You know, to me, it's all the matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. How far can I trust you? You know, I'll never forget that time when all this first rolled out, you know, the Great Reset. And that guy come on the prayer lines and he said, I have got the status news to tell you guys. We're like, what? I mean, this was right after the jab first rolled out. He said, my wife went and got the jab yesterday. How, was any of you guys on that prayer call? It was live on YouTube, actually. And he said it in front of everybody. He said, I'm so devastated. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. He said, I sat down with her and I told her, no, 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 no. Do not do this. I do absolutely do not want you to. And she still went and done it. So naturally, you know, people in the chat and stuff, you know, was telling me, well, you need to leave that woman. You need to flat tell her how the cow ate the cabbage type of deal. Because she, yada, yada. But anyway, so I guess months went by. I was driving through his town, so we met for lunch. And I told him, I had a word for him from the Lord. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you something. You better love Jesus more than you love anyone, any person, place, or thing. Because if you're not careful, brother, if you stay in that, she is going to woo you over. And you know within 2 years she wooed him over. Within 2 years. So sad. So sad. But see, there's a lot of people, though, when that happened, they divorced them. They left them. Because something that serious, you know, you just brought the beast in your house. You obviously have no love and respect for me. You just left me in your heart when you made that decision type of deal, you know. But anyway, so I don't mean to be all newsy this morning. But I do have some scriptures I want to share with you. So I guess I'll go ahead and get started talking about this. But anyways, going back to finish the Noahide law deal. Y'all need to know what this is because Trump is working right now on getting the International Divine Courts set up. And if y'all haven't noticed how the mainstream media and Congress is working with this agenda. And well, you even heard Michelle Bachmann yesterday. You know, really, she was talking about the courts and she was talking about Elon and, you know, how good Elon is and everything. I mean, such a farce. But, so you have like Congress and everybody. Everybody's fighting against the courts, even all those riots that happened this weekend, that's what they were about. The courts and what a shasty court system we have right now. Which, you know, they're doing that on purpose so they can bring in the Sanhedrin court and act like there is an authority above the Supreme Court. There is a holy authority above the Supreme Court, you know. Because that's what all their arguments are out there right now. We have no accountability. We have, you know, these Supreme Court justices, they can just do whatever they want. They have nobody over them that's watching them, you know. So then they can put this court over them and say, God is in control. But we know that the kind of God that they're serving that's going to be over this court is not the God that we know. This is what you have to know. This is why I've been trying to really stress it in these prayer calls, Bible studies, everything, even in the news shows, that the God that these people are serving is not the real God. It is not. If you reject Jesus, you reject God. I'm going to repeat that again. If you reject Jesus and what he did on that cross and the purpose that he came for, then you are not serving the right God. There's no way. Because you're rejecting God himself. This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. That's what he said when Jesus was revealed. See, when you got to remember, when Jesus came, he was the lamb that was born in a manger. He was a life meant to die. He was born to die. And the whole time of his existence on the earth was to be an example for us. For us to know, you know, what Christianity should look like. And a lot of people say, well, I do Hebrew roots because Jesus did. Okay, there's something you need to understand about that. Yeah, Jesus went to the synagogues and went to the feasts and stuff. You know why? Because that was the day of the culture. That was the culture of the day. That's, they was from the first covenant. That's all they knew. So he had to go to these people to reach these people. But he brought another covenant. He came there to set them free from the law. He died and tore the veil so that now they don't have to do sacrifices. They don't have to have a priest. Actually, they are the priest now over the tabernacle that's now on the inside. So he made the way for us to have that intimacy. We talked about it in the Bible college last night in our class, how powerful, you know, that was for the Holy of Holies. That now we literally have access into the Holy of Holies. We have that intimacy that we can walk in the room, you know. I think it was you, Kimberly, talking last night about, you know, in the Holy of Holies, there was no light. I mean, God was the light. And now, you know, we have that access. And we can go in, enter in, talk to, fellowship, you know, worship God any time of day, 24/7. We have access to him. Pretty cool, huh? Okay, now, I want to get started on the little scriptures that I have for you today. I want to talk to you about something called innocence. You know, being married to Dennis, after all that I've been through in my life, which most of you know about now, is a different kind of love. It's like almost like a born-again love. I'm testifying today, I cannot believe. It is hard for me to fathom, let me just say it that way, the opportunity that God has given me to love again after the mistakes and failures that I've had in my life, that I, in my lifetime, am able to experience true, innocent love. And I want to talk to you about that today, what that really means in your relationship with God and in your relationship with people, like with your spouses. See, when you get married and you do it right, you know, before God and everything, where you have that purity there, you know, and you wear the white dress and you, you know, feel that innocent, virgin, beauty of his holiness type of feeling. And, you know, you look at your husband, your future husband up there, and you see the love of your life. I mean, this is what all girls who dream of princesses want to feel like, you know, that you're marrying your prince, you're marrying a person you truly, truly love, not out of obligation or anything like that, but just, you know, it's called innocence. you know, and this is how it is whenever we repent and we come to the Lord for real, you know, the first time. And we, you know, we repent and we lay it out there and let God chisel that old hard heart down. He makes us innocent. You know, he begins to pull off that blackness, that hardness, the shell that was around the heart from all of the trauma and the banging and the hurt and the evil, you know, that tried to blow up that heart. So you surrounded it with Fort Knox, you know. But then you meet that lamb, that perfect lamb, the one that is nothing but pure love, you know, that you may have never experienced in your life. And then you meet him and you fall in love. You know, and you're meeting somebody that you don't need a shell. You don't need a hard rock around it. You don't need a wall there. You don't need a curtain. You just need him. You need that Holy of Holies. That love that you've never known. That's innocent. And when he chisels all that hardness down, and he breaks off all that darkness, and a beautiful pink fleshy heart appears. And it begins to beat in his hands. The beautiful pink fleshy heart. That's how it is when you repent and get saved. He chisels it all down to reveal the beautiful jewel of a soft heart. When you get married, your heart is like that. It's a beautiful heart of expectancy and love, and with no barriers, a pre-existing law or contract that you have somebody sign in case of divorce. There's none of that. That's not innocent. Innocent is everything I am, you can have. Everything about, you know, me as a person, we're merging. We're merging as one here. And that includes everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You know? And it's how it is with Jesus. When you look at Jesus and you say, do I want him to be my Savior? Do I really believe that this man is God? Do I really believe that he loves me and that he has nothing but good in store for me? Do I really believe that he is everything like that? Well, he looks at you and he says, you know, I see her life. I see her past. I see all these ugly spots on her body and, you know, these little knots and bruises. And, you know, I see all of the things that have tainted her and have put a big shell around her. I see that. But you know what? I'm going to marry that. I'm going to take it just the way it is. I sure am. Have y'all ever seen them? A video of where that man walks up to that beat up puppy that's been wounded and abused. That is the sweetest video ever. And, you know, he goes up to this dog that's wanting to chew his arm off because he's protecting himself. And then it shows this man having patience with this homeless dog that is abandoned and so hurt that he wants to lash out every time that man comes around. But over time, as the man comes around and is kind to the little puppy, you know, he'll bring him food and he'll try to get closer and closer. Over time, you see him sitting there and then the puppy's in his lap. See that old hard shell come down. That puppy was so mean because he had been hurt and abused and neglected. So it was lashing out in anger. But over time, with love, it tore down that shell, and now that puppy is his dog. That's how the Lord is. He helps us to, you know, calm down and let him remove those hard places in our heart and those things that cause us to be the way that we don't want to be. You know, the lashing out and the, you know, the hurt and the pain and all of that. The Lord knows all that. And he wants to get your heart innocent again. So let's read some scriptures this morning and talk about it. Because I think pretty much you get where I'm going with this. Now, one other thing I want to tell you before we get started on the scriptures is, okay, when I married Dennis, we, you know, read each other our own vows. We actually did them ahead of time and recorded them and let them play while we looked and stared at each other. But in mine, I told him, I said, you know what? I have stood before the President of the United States, and I feel as I'm marrying you that you are more important to me, and I am more happier to be in front of you than the President of the United States. You know, I wanted him to know that there's no epic moment or epic man on this earth that even comes close to how I feel being in front of you right now, you know, type of deal. That innocent love. But months later, you know, 6 or 8 months later, I get mad at him one day. And he hurt me to the bone, but I can't remember what it was about. But I felt through that offense that he did, I felt something enter my heart. A little blot is the way I describe it. Because I felt myself wanting to go in and pull away from him and put a shell around my heart because he hurt me. And I didn't like it, so I was wanting to pull away from him and put a shell around that heart. So I went up to him. I said, I need to talk to you. He said, well, what? I said, I have a blot in my heart against you. I have my heart, I feel it, a darkness has entered. It's angry, you know. I don't like that, so we need to talk about this, you know. And we was able to talk about it, and he didn't even realize what he had done. And he quickly, this is a good godly husband, he quickly repented because whether he thinks he's right or not, it hurt me, you know, his wife. So he still has to recognize that even though you may have been innocent in the way you did that, the offense that it brought to me is a wrong to you. You know, you need to repent about that and make it right. You know what I mean? Because it's all about perception, you know. But so this goes back to the innocence. So after, you know, we sat down and we forgave each other, and the offense was cast out. You know, my heart was innocent again, which means I have so much grace and love towards Dennis, mercy, you know. And that's because you keep your heart soft. You know, you keep it pliable. You keep it innocent to where there's not the darkness and there's not the blots there to bring a wall between me and him. There's nothing worse, you know, than to live in a house with a brawling spouse, you know. somebody that there's such, I have lived like that, such a big wall. I mean, it could be Fort Knox, you know, a terrible place to be. So that's what I was saying about being single. Be thankful you're single, you know, because you have Jesus as your husband, and he's always good, you know. You don't have somebody in the house that's making decisions that's going to bring harm to you, who don't care about you enough that they would go get a job, you know, and be selfish about it and not even consider your feelings of it and bring in the beast in the house. You know, Dennis and I's house, it's very small. It's like 900 square foot. But it is our little haven. I mean, it is what it is. We have a floor that's about KD. Y'all know what I'm saying. But to me and him, it's our little home, you know. We have built this house, you know, redid the bones and everything. That, the floor is the last thing we have to do. You know, we've got to get that braced up. But when we go in there at night, though, after, you know, we go out and work all day, it is just so kind, just so nice to be able to just, you know, this is our home. It is what it is, you know. But just being together, I believe we can make any place a home. You see what I mean? Okay, so going back to the innocence, when I talk about these scriptures, I want you to think about your relationship with your spouse. Anybody listening to this across the world, you know, if you have blots in your heart towards your spouse, those need to be dealt with today. You know, and you can just approach them and say, you know, I would like to talk to you about my heart. You know, when we got married, we had innocent love. But over time, you know, because things weren't dealt with or whatever, we have these blots. We have these knots and bruises here. So I would like for us to just talk about it, you know. And I want to tell you how I feel, and you tell me how you feel, and us be open to receive from each other. And then whenever you communicate with your spouse and you're talking, it's not whether they're right or wrong. That's not the issue. The issue is, am I hearing you? You know, because your perception of rightness may not be my perception. My perception may be that you have offended me. So I need to acknowledge and recognize that you feel offended against me, whether I realize I've done it or not. You're offended for some reason. So this I need to repent about, see. So hopefully through this teaching today, you know, you'll find a lot of healing, and you'll be able to get your fleshy heart back, you know, so y'all can move forward, because you're going to need that soft heart. Okay, so today we're going to talk about innocence. This emphasizes the importance of purity, righteousness, and the need to protect the innocent. So we're going to talk about a few scriptures having to do with innocence. Exodus 23:7. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. Now, I just want to say this. I had a fallout on YouTube with this lady who spoke some curses against me and lied against me for sure. And so I did a rebuttal, and I told everybody, I just flat out told them, this woman is lying. You know, because people know that follow me that I go above and beyond to prove my truth, you know. In almost every news broadcast, I mean, this is how much really value people knowing that I am really trying hard before my God and my King to tell the truth. So to me, you know, people that follow me know this, right? So anyway, so if I've got this woman out here slandering me to everybody, and she's telling them that I'm the reason she lost her YouTube channel, and I know she's lying, I'm going to tell. You know, so I tell everybody, I say, this woman is lying. So this woman comes back at me, and she says, what would Jesus say about the way you're acting? So I replied to her, and I said, this is what he says. And I come back with scriptures. He hates wickedness. We are not to coddle wickedness and witchcraft and all of that stuff. You see what I mean? So the question to her I had was, is when did you quit loving truth? And that's the truth of it. Because we are, the Bible says in the last days, people will quit loving truth. They don't even care. And y'all see that today. They don't even care about the truth type of deal. So when it says keep far from a false charge, that's right. You know, don't put up with, like when she told me those people were witches that had infiltrated our prayer call, she said all three of them were witches. So whenever this thing blew up, I asked them, are y'all witches? They didn't deny it. So I'm like, what the world? Do not come back. I don't put up with witches. You know, so we stay far, far from that kind of stuff. He does not acquit the wicked. He doesn't make excuses. Okay, Isaiah 1:17. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. And defend the cause of the poor. Matthew 10:16. Be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. I don't know what version they're coming from on this one. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For such belongs to the kingdom of heaven. See, that's that innocent of heart. Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, amid a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as the lights of the world. So now we're talking about innocence with us as our position of a Christian. When we walk in innocence, we walk in more light. Light in the darkness. That's pretty cool. Matthew 5:1-21. This passage discusses how through Christ, believers are justified and have peace with God. Moving from a state of guilt to one of innocence. Isn't that cool? Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been in all respects tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 7:26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Don't that mean a lot more now that y'all studied the tabernacle when it says a high priest? Holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. 1 Peter 2:22. He committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. See, that's innocence. Isaiah 53:9. He was assigned to a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he did no wrong and no deceit was in his mouth. Luke 18:16. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And last one, Mark 10:14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant with them and said, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So, hold on just a second here. So there's actually several areas that we're looking at about innocence today. One, innocence in your marriage. Two, innocence in your relationship with God. Your heart, your repentance, your salvation, right? And then there's another in your innocence having to do with the kingdom, other people. Romans 5, I'm going to read you all of 12 through 21. "Therefore, just as sin came in the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification." Look at this one, 1 Peter 3:4. "But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." Now, I know that back in the old day, you know, they said that about women. They wanted all women to be quiet. You know, be in subjection, have a quiet and peaceable spirit. Spirit, you know, it is different in our culture today, you know, for women to have opinions and have voices like what I do, you know. It is kind of different, and it is why my elders, you know, are not so thrilled with what I do. You see what I mean? Like my mother, if she was alive, or my aunt, they surely are not. You know, because women are to be quiet, you know, and I'm speaking out, you know, about, well, about the president and very public matters, you know. So it's a culture issue. But anyway, so I hope that my encouragement to you today about innocence really minister to your hearts and will help you in your relationships and maybe, you know, get some healing between you and God. Because maybe the Lord has convicted you while I was talking about the blots in your heart. And so I just want to take a minute and I want to pray and let's talk to the Lord about those blots so that God can heal you. Lord, we just thank you so much today, Lord, for the innocence that you want us to have, that you want our hearts to be restored, and for those blots to come out and those hard places and the walls that we ourselves to protect ourselves, Lord. You are a healing God of our physical body and our spiritual body. And so, Lord, we just pray for anybody out there that has issues in their heart, blots or shells around them, Lord, that you would tear them down right now in Jesus' name, that you would heal every place of brokenness and hurt in their heart today. And I pray you bring that innocence back, Lord. And Lord, I pray for marriages that have hardened just through offense or just through, situations in life that can bring these things in marriages, Lord. And I pray that they would recognize the enemy today, that they would see that that was just the old enemy, just wanting to break up your marriage and wanting to destroy your children and your family and stuff. And Lord, I pray that they will just sit down and they will look at each other in the eyes and just say, I forgive. And that they would release those hard spots, those blots, that the enemy wants to send them to hell over. And that those blots of those things that was done in the past, that was done for whatever reason, that they would all be removed by the precious hand of God. Lord, I thank you that you're the Lamb that was slain. And that blood heals. It cleans. It purifies. So we pray for every heart that is listening, that the blood would just flow over that heart today and heal the heart of man. Restore to them, Lord, that innocence of their heart to love you more, to love their spouse more, to love their children more, to love their neighbors more, to love their self more. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing all of this to our attention today, Lord, because you know what tomorrow brings. You are already over there. So we're just praising you and I today. And we want you to heal our heart today, Lord, because you always have us ready for tomorrow. You'll meet us over there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, I'm going to stop the recording here.